Hello and welcome to VG Club. My name is Daxter23Jack, aka Viv, and today I am joined by Korea9, aka Chris.
Hey.
Hobbyously, aka Hobby.
Hey.
Hobby.
Oh, hello. I thought I said hey.
Yeah,
he's
<today. laughs>
All right. And then we are also joined by Grace.
Hiya.
Ben.
Hey.
And Cool Luck, aka Marcus.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, Javi, and today we are
Javi? Javi, huh? Javi, come on.
I am here.
And today we are going
to
be
real quick. I'm sorry.
And today we are going to be talking about the 2000 platformer developed by Sega, Jet Set Radio, which is kind of like this platform. Oh, wait, I've got the wrong game. It's Jet Force Gemini, the N64 game developed by Rare. Who would God.
I am.
Who would have made that mistake?
I am glad I'm not the only one that thought that when we voted on it, and then afterwards was like,
"Oh my gosh, really?
This isn't it. This isn't the same game. I have both those games, but this isn't what I thought we were playing."
That's so funny
to be able to say this, but y'all got to read. Like,
it's no, that's fair. It's on us, 100%.
No, okay. Well, let's back up there, 100%. Would imply that that game wasn't on the table because this game should never have been put forth for human consumption.
Wow, strong words start this out.
Yeah, I mean, just saying, if Chris and Marcus had done their due diligence, we could have been playing Oddworld or Ninja Gaiden Sigma, but no.
None of that sounds better, honestly. I remember why I voted the way I did.
All right, but yeah, in all seriousness, this title, Rare game, it's developed in Blast Corps, and I honestly, I kind of bounced right off of this game.
I don't know what that means for you, because that like 5 minutes and then you were out, or
like how long did you spend on it, Dex? Like how fast is I just bounced right off of it?
Like you got to the main menu and it's like, oh no, this isn't it.
Kind of less than an hour, like maybe 45, 50 minutes.
I wish I had the lack of commitment that you had.
I just kind of knew it wasn't for me. I kept telling myself, oh, I'm going to get back and give it a second chance. And yeah, that didn't end up happening. Instead, I started playing Super Mario Odyssey last night.
So
there you go.
Maybe we should describe exactly what Jet Force Gemini is outside of that. You know, Rare developed it. It was by that team. What is Jet Force Gemini?
Good question.
It's 1999 N64 game. It's a third-person shooter where you get to choose one of three characters: a generic space marine dude. I'm trying to figure out how to describe the girl, and then
a generic anime girl.
Yeah, and then you've got your war dog.
But you don't get to choose them.
Not at first.
They choose you.
Well, it's...
well, I mean, like, you do get to choose them eventually. You just have to play the game, so...
Yeah, no, that's fair. I guess it's just you unlock it as it goes on. And honestly, the main task of the game, and something Grace pointed out to me that you had to do, was collect all of the tribals, because otherwise you can't complete the game.
Yeah, except that like you can't collect them all until you unlock all the characters and can go back to the levels with the new powers. So it's not worth chasing them initially. Like, it's definitely a thing you do at the end of the game.
Yeah, there's like a bunch of them I got super frustrated trying to get before I realized like, oh, it's just impossible to get that one right now.
Well, and the worst part in like this old school game design decision, when you go back to the level, it repopulates everything you've collected, so you have to collect all of them all over again. It doesn't remember.
It's a one shot. You have to do it in one go.
Yep.
Even so, you have to like make sure remembers your jiggy pieces.
Yeah, it's a bizarre choice, but it's kind of funny. I don't know if y'all know the history behind this game and Rare at the time, but Nintendo was looking to make a Metroid game for the N64, and one of their star, you know, second party developers was Rare. And so Rare was working on Metroid for N64. And something about that project fell apart, didn't work out. But you can see so much Metroid in this game. And even before this was even a staple of the franchise, what would have been with Retro Studios, like all the Prime games have this same deal. Like at the end of every Metroid Prime, you need to collect some crap that's scattered across the entire game. You have to go out and 100% grab everything before you can actually finish. And this kind of set that precedent, even though it's not a Metroid game. But it very much is in the spirit of a Metroid game. So it's kind of a funny accident.
Yeah, this would have, I feel like if this had been a Metroid title, a lot more people would have been skeptical of Prime on the GameCube.
Yeah.
It would pretty much have the...
Although people were skeptical of Prime.
and I mean, we're coming at this, what, 24 years later. This game reviewed fairly well at the time.
Yeah. I think it's easy to not appreciate what this game is doing. Like, third-person shooters were not really a thing. You had, like, Winback, and, like, I guess, no, we hadn't had Max Payne yet. But, like, I like to always kind of, like, point to Resident Evil 4, the first one, as, like, the first game to, like, really lock down third-person, over-the-shoulder kind of controls. So, like, to...
Yeah. And then shortly after, we got Gears of War, so it was kind of like the renaissance.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so like those games laid a lot of groundwork, but this is before those games, right? And it's on N64. It's kind of uncharted territory. I think that it's one of those things where, like, if you're looking for shooters on consoles, like, what is the... Where was the bar at this time? And most people would point to GoldenEye, which is Rare. It's also Rare. So like this game could have, I guess it does have like kind of an auto aim when you're pointing in the right direction. I bet you they did copy over a lot of the GoldenEye, like, you know, mechanical structure of how that game works, but I don't know, something's lost in there. Using the C buttons to like jump and crouch was a little weird. I don't know. I think this game is just a little inelegant, but I think that for the time and for the, like, looking at how ambitious the game was and the atmosphere and also some of the music in this game is very, very good. So I just want to give it a little credit there. I think artistically and like ambition wise, it, like, it deserves a nod there. It's just, it didn't all come together.
You know, us had a lot of ambition. Tommy was so, that doesn't mean the end result was anything worth a damn. I appreciate that. How much did you play of this, Javi?
Not a lot. But I did watch a lot of videos about the development of it and like get an understanding of what the world was like when this came out and what they were going for. So there's a lot of interesting tidbits in there about where Rare was and what they were trying to do, and a lot of the stuff that I was watching was showing later levels and how, like, there's like a level that's like an abandoned spacecraft and all you have is like the security lighting, like running up and down the hallways and stuff, and like they played some of the music and stuff, and it's like, wow, this is really atmospheric. This is a Nintendo 64 game. Like, how'd they do this? Nobody was doing this. So I don't know, I think there's stuff there that's worth appreciating, but it is worth mentioning that I wasn't, you know, enthralled with the game enough to get there myself. So take that for what it is.
Did you look up videos just to sort of figure out, like, all right, well, how did this happen? Who committed this crime and why?
It was more just doing my due diligence, I guess. Like, I wanted to have a little bit more context about the game and to, like, you know, have interesting things to say about it outside of just, like, I played the first, you know, a few levels, and it just wasn't really that compelling. It wasn't very fun.
So I'm just curious, did anybody complete this game? But I think Grace might.
I did, and I'm probably, it sounds like so far, I'm the only one who actually played it on Nintendo 64 when it first came out, so that's also part of it.
Like, yes, I did. This was the first time I played it.
I played it on 64. I think I played it when I was a kid a little bit. I never owned it, but I played somebody else's copy.
I think even childhood me would look at the case at Blockbuster and decide, no, you're better off.
I will say both times I used the strategy guide, which is like 100% necessary. So it definitely has that element to it. Like we were talking about Metroid, like you need to know where to go, what to do, that kind of thing. So it's either way you played it, you kind of had to know what you were doing.
Did you run strategy guide from the start? Is that why your like hour count was so much lower?
Not from the start, no. Just kind of like at the point where I needed to start collecting things. Like when I was getting close to the end, I had two characters at Mizar's Palace like before they all meet up and you unlock free play. So that was around the point where I started looking at the strategy guide to see what I needed to do.
Did you know that in Europe, this game had a different title? And I would argue a much better title. It was called Star Twins because the two main characters are twins.
They're what now?
That would have been...
When does that come into play?
Siblings.
Like Juno's helmet kind of like hides the whole fact, so it's kind of hard to tell.
Why are they kissing half the time? Oh, no, sorry. I'm thinking of Star Wars. My bad.
Star Twins is a good name, though.
Yeah.
Name, but
better than Jet Force Gemini.
Yeah, it's a good name, but it just ignores the dog completely, the third playable character.
Star Twins and War Dog. There we go.
Is he a real dog? He seemed like really like robotic.
He got like jet boots. Dog was like the only character I liked playing as because he had a good jump, unlike everybody else, where the jumping kind of sucks.
Fair. Yeah, considering it does kind of force you to platform at some points, that could have been better.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a part, I think it's pretty fairly early on, you're playing as, can't remember the characters' names, but the...
Juno. Oh, no, not Juno. The other one.
Begins with a V, doesn't it? Is that my... Maybe I'm wrong there. Anyway, the girl character.
Vela.
Yeah.
Vela?
Yeah, so it did begin with a V. I'm good. Yeah. I remember something. You're playing through that, I think it's like the first level you play as her, and there's this like part where you have to walk across these beams to get to the other side. I just kept falling off because you can't control the camera and inherently now like you want to kind of move the camera so like you would press the right stick and she would fall off. She would either fall all the way into the lava or she'd grab onto the side. Like I just I'm not this bad at games.
Yeah, about that, like I got into a rhythm really early on where I just held down the aim button because you can turn the camera while you're aiming. I got to the point where I spent a lot of time just moving around like that.
Yeah, I think I did that same. Too for a good chunk of the game because you just hold down the aim button and it kind of lets you strafe like that. So I just played pretty much the whole game like that.
But you can't jump while aiming, so you had to like line up in your aim sight and then you just hope when you press forward and jump that they'll do what you wanted them to do.
Yeah, there is that, like especially like during boss battles because you have to jump to avoid some of the attacks, but you can't like you're stuck in aim mode anyway, but it's still like you naturally want to hold the aim button. So that kind of throws you off too. But yeah, it's not the controls are definitely a point of contention.
I mean, so... I look at this game kind of like this will never ever happen because you can't justify it business wise, but I would love a like modern, you know, another stab at just remaking this game with modern sensibilities. Like I like the idea, like in broad strokes, it's kind of a cool concept. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's just of its time and very awkward and has some like really dated decisions, like, you know, your collectibles restarting whenever you start a level again. But a lot of this stuff can be fixed pretty easily. So I don't know. I would love to play a modified version of this game that polishes it up.
Is there, and this is really a question for Grace, is there enough gameplay variety to warrant that?
I mean, you do pretty much spend like 99% of the game just shooting things. So, I mean, you can make the same argument. Like, there is no reason to remaster Gears of War because all you do is shoot things. So, like, you could say yes and no. I mean, like, all three of the characters have, like, their own ability, but, like, Juno and Vela, Juno's is being able to walk in lava, which comes in handy, like, three times throughout the entire game. Vela can swim underwater. You need to get to some of the places to, like, rescue the tribals and things like that. So it's kind of like they have their own distinct styles, but only Lupus's is actually, like, you can just use it any time, whenever you want, because his is hovering. So, I mean, I think if you remade it and, like, completely remade it, like, just make some new not new levels necessarily, but, like, make some new changes to it. Kind of like, I haven't finished it yet, but kind of like Resident Evil 4. Like, that's not just a straight perfect remake. It's close, but it changes some things so that even if you play the original, your expectations are kind of thrown out the window when you get to a certain point and something different happens. So I think if they kind of went with that philosophy, like, take the blueprint, change it up a little bit, then it could be worth it.
Gotcha. So this game is the Nintendo 64's Resident Evil 4. Got it.
I was just using that as, like, the original /remake.
I gotcha. Yeah, I asked that question about variety because, you know, I think I played about 5 hours of this game, and it was so samey, and I was just tired of it already. But I knew I was really early on because I was like, okay, well, I still need to unlock, like, the dog, and then I get the dog, and yeah, I agree with Ben with the hovering helps, I think, because it helps counteract a lot of the really precise movement you needed for some of the just getting around the level bits that the other characters had. But even with that sort of added ability, I don't want to even call it freedom, but it's just like it's competency, really. I just wasn't, I wasn't engaged enough to want to play more of the game. If I'm fighting the game all the time, and the only thing it has to show for it is, oh, here's another room where you shoot stuff and look for enemies or look for a key. Like, it just, I don't know. Like, I don't think there's enough here to really warrant going back to.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's fair, because, like, really the only time the gameplay actually fully changes is when, like, you have a few sections where you control the lead, like a little flying robot, you fly through sections, and there's one, like, required race minigame, like racing, but other than that, the game rarely changes at all, so that's fair.
How do those control?
The racing is fine. Like, I mean, obviously they worked on Diddy Kong Racing, so they knew what they were doing. The full lead missions, like, that, they're not very fun. Like, the controls work, but it just feels so, like you have, like, an aiming, you're seeing it from first person when you fly with him, so, like, you have a reticule on the screen, and it never feels like you're actually going where the reticule is pointing, and it feels like you're way too big compared to, like, what you're seeing on the screen. It feels like you hit a wall without actually being able to, like, see the wall or feeling like you're close to it, so those aren't very enjoyable.
Yeah, so, I guess, this was brought up earlier, but what's the special ability of the guy? The girl can swim underwater. The dog has hover boots. What does the guy do?
He can walk on lava.
Yeah, well, in it, not on it. Like, he doesn't, like, walk on top of it.
Wow, well, yeah.
He's not lava Jesus.
Could be. It would have been a better game.
Yeah, it only comes in handy. Like, I think there's, like, literally, like, three times that you absolutely have to use it. Maybe four. So, yeah, you don't see it very much.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, pretty much no reason to play as the guy once you unlock the other characters.
Kind of, although you
do. Yeah, I mean, there's some tribals I believe through certain levels where you need to beat each of the characters to access. So I'm sure that there's, like, a patch of lava here or there where you have to be the guy.
Yeah, there is, and also, like, the capacity upgrades you can pick up for your weapons, like, you want to get as many as you can with him because he's the one who fights the final boss.
Oh, okay. But yeah, no. It's one of these things where with Rare games, I definitely do have nostalgia for, goggles for that company. But I think I always played more of their platformers and action games as opposed to their shooters because, you know, I don't have any memories of, you know, Perfect Dark or Golden Eye. So I don't know how I would react to those titles now nowadays, even with updated controls. I mean, for those of you who did play it on the N64 and later played them on the 360 and Xbox One, do those titles age as well, or do the first person titles age a bit better?
I mean, I think the first person titles definitely age better than this did, but like GoldenEye does not age particularly well. Regardless, it's still fun. I like GoldenEye, but it is there are issues with that game. I think Perfect Dark is still a very good first person shooter, though.
Yeah, especially the multiplayer.
Yeah,
I will say it took me a long time to get used to Perfect Dark on 360, just because I was so used to playing it with the 64 controller that
I'm sure
modern controls felt weird at first, but it. After a while, I got used to it, and it feels really great. So.
Okay, that's good to hear. I might have to give Perfect Dark because there was the original Perfect Dark, and then did they release a sequel or a remake when the 360 came out?
There's a sequel, Perfect Dark Zero, that came out when the 360 launched. I think it was a launch title for it, or very soon thereafter.
It was a launch title with that and Cameo.
Okay. I'll have to check those out because
you can skip Zero. It's not terrible, but
that's somebody who absolutely loved the original game. I did not enjoy Zero at all.
it's something.
Okie doke. So let's see. Covered the story, I guess.
Hey,
I
mean, we can talk about graphics. It looks like shit.
It looks like an N64 game, which I mean. Fair, Marcus, but it does look like an N64 game.
I just the walking animation for the guy, like every time I saw it, I was just like, it looks like he crapped his pants and he's just like awkwardly walking around.
He looks like he's square dancing when he strafes.
the enemy like death animation is so weird because they do like it takes them so long to die, and I kept like pumping more bullets into them before I realized, like, oh no, they are dead.
I thought they were
forever.
I kept shooting them because I thought they were gonna like come back like a la zombies, like in a Resident Evil game. I was just
like it's Gears of War or something. You gotta like double tap them when they're down.
When it still highlights them as like, oh, you can still shoot this, like it's an active enemy, and it's like, nope, that thing's dead. I just wasted another 10 bullets, charges or whatever.
Yeah,
fortunately, the game forgets when you leave a room, so you can just come back to that room and pick up more ammo.
But yeah, was there like enemy variety? Did it because you're kind of dealing with the ant drones at the beginning? Is that just the main?
Oh yeah, that's pretty
main
much
enemy.
It's cool ants. So like you have the blue ones that you normally see. There's green ones that are snipers, and then there's blue ones with shields. Brown ones that try to kill the tribals, and there's like other brown ones that I don't know what they do, but they're there. And then there's like the big enemies. I don't know what they're called, but there's like three varieties of the big ones. So there's like
the ones that shoot the rockets and stuff.
Yeah, like some of them shoot rockets, some of them shoot like machine gun type weapons. So there's a tiny bit of variety, but literally like each enemy type, like the small ants and the big ones, there's probably like three or four each. And then there's like flying enemies every now and then, but I don't really know.
Those Galaga looking things?
Yeah, yeah. Like they all kind of line up like Space Invaders, Galaga type things most of the time. So.
Which honestly makes sense. I watched one of the, they have like those little documentary shorts on Rare Replay. And they have one on Jet Force Gemini, and I guess the design around this was like old school arcade games. So they probably did take inspiration from like those types of shooters for the drones that you kill.
Okay. Did they talk about it like in silhouette with their voice mask?
No, they're out there. They're just in there, like they're not hiding from it. In fact, that one of the other documentaries, like shorts they have, is basically their philosophy was they, and I weirdly said this to Grace about a different game of Rare's, but I thought their philosophy was like, we throw shit at a wall and see what sticks, like, because their output is all over the place. And they basically admit that in like one of their, like, what makes a rare game? Basically, we throw shit at a wall, see what sticks. We don't, like, they just try everything. That's why you get games like Blast Corps and Jet Force Gemini and Banjo, Perfect Dark. Like, they don't stick to a genre. They don't stick to anything. They're just like, whatever. Somebody wants to make this? All right, let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only
You forgot studio... Viva Pinata.
Yeah, Viva Pinata, like, that's another one. Like, doesn't really fit into a box that you would expect from, well, anybody.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of modern-day studios, I think the only one I can compare it to off the top of my head is Supergiant, because basically they do not stick to a genre. I mean, we're only getting, like, Hades 2 after the company's been around for, what, 15-plus years?
Has been around for a while, yeah.
Yeah, so they, you know, usually jump from genre to genre, and each time they do it, they kind of add something to the genre itself, so it's not like a repetition. So I feel like, but I feel like they refine theirs in a way that I guess it feels like Rare didn't do back in the day, because it, I mean, with some of these games, they were only in development for like a year or two, right?
That probably checks out. Like, Jet Force Gemini came out the year after Banjo. And that's also the year they released Donkey Kong 64. And they helped work on, like, Mickey's Racing Adventure for that. Like,
and Rare was making so many games. And even into, like, the 360 era, they were still doing that. Of, like, yeah. They just have so many teams and so many stuff that, like, if something doesn't work, they're like, well, we got, like, two other games in development right now. So they just move on to something else.
Yeah, which, I mean, I think there's something to be said about that process. I think that's kind of what game jams are all about. You know, you just throw something up, and the stuff that really resonates with people, you can actually develop into a full game. But yeah, I think especially nowadays, you need the time to polish up a game. So I feel like maybe this game would have been better if they'd been able to spend more time on it. But maybe that's wishful thinking.
I'm just trying to think of what's that game they're working on now, like Everwild or something.
Yep.
That they sure got a lot of time on that. I haven't seen
that much nothing of the show for it so far. Since they announced it.
Yeah.
2019, they announced that.
Oh. Well, at least it's not, you know, Beyond Good and Evil 2.
It's fair.
Poor Jeff.
Damn.
Poor Jeff.
I mean, that thing's not real, right?
It's not. They just keep saying it is.
Well, I wish this wasn't real either.
I am kind of with Javi. I wish, like, I like the kind of like the vibe of it, like what they're going for. Like, it feels like a Saturday morning kind of cartoon thing, but based on like old school sci-fi. I could go for something with that kind of feel and goofiness around it, but I just wish it played better.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
honestly. So one of the things that I heard about the game in its development was that initially it was even more cartoony and even more Saturday morning kind of like bright, and the character designs were a lot more, you know, colorful and cartoony. Apparently, Shigeru Miyamoto took a look at it and suggested that they try to make it more realistic. And so that's how they ended up with what they have here.
He Heisenberg, the Rare team, almost out of his territory.
That's right.
Getting too close.
Miyamoto and his infinite wisdom. Yeah. You kind of have to do whatever he says, even if it's bad advice.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was watching a documentary about the making of Metroid Prime. And, like, yeah. You saw that influence everywhere. Because originally, that Metroid Prime was supposed to be this like Charlie's Angels kind of game where you played as like three women who are trying to take down like geneticists and like Nazis and stuff like that. And then somehow that got turned into Metroid Prime.
Oh, you mean like that was before they knew they were making a Metroid game. It's
right? Yeah. And Shigeru Miyamoto just comes in and it's just like, yeah, you probably want to do this instead. And it's just like, okay, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Grace,
he seems to do that.
Grace, are there vehicle sections in this? Like, I played enough to unlock the dog, so I got that achievement. But like, are there vehicle sections? Like, do you outside of the jetpacks that you obviously get, but
no, not other than the racing, like the one race that you have to do, and kind of, I guess you can sort of count Floyd as a vehicle because you fly him, but
otherwise, right. You
know, like, there's not any like fixed turret sections or any other kind of like driving or anything in the game.
Yeah, I think that might have like helped change up the kind of monotony that Marcus was feeling.
So yeah, I guess before we move on, thankfully there was no voice acting in this because I feel like that would have it would have been horrible. But how was the music for you guys?
I was listening to podcasts like halfway through me playing this thing because I was just getting so bored. Hearing Javi talk about, you know, hearing some cool bits sort of makes me regret that. But also, like, I think I would have given up like much sooner if I had to focus even more on the game.
Yeah, no, the music is actually like pretty fitting. Like the title screen music is all, you know, like heroic and bombastic, and then like you get to Mizar's palace, you know, with the big bad, and it's like really like oppressive, like military style. Like also, it's like the music kind of like tries to weigh down on you, like, hey, this is, you know, it, like, this, you're getting close to saving the galaxy, but you have a long road ahead of you to kill this guy, basically, kind of thing. So I like the music, and like on the point of voice acting, that like obviously it probably would have been bad, but also the fact that the game kind of feels like a really old like B movie, like sci-fi movie, it probably would have been extremely fitting at the same time. But yeah, like I think the music is fine. Like most of the time, it's really good or just really there. But overall, it fits well.
Mm-hmm. It has that like a old school sci-fi TV show type feel, as you said, Grace. Like it's fun.
Yeah, it doesn't take itself seriously, especially like when you blow up an enemy with a rocket and they splatter into bits. Like it does not even try to like make you. And like when you pick up a key, it's like, astonishingly, this key opens blue doors. Like it's really just like poking fun at itself at that point.
Yeah, the music was mostly fine for me, but in terms of voice acting, did anyone notice how like when you kill enemies, they like squeal like pigs? Like why do like these weird bug things almost sound like pigs when they die? That was weird to me.
Aliens.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like horrible alien noises. Like the worst noise. The one that you don't want to hear is when Lupus gets shot because you hear him whine. It's like, stop shooting the doggy. But that's just me.
I mean, no one really knows this, but ants just sound exactly like pigs. It's just that they're so small. So like these ants are big, so you hear them.
Mm-hmm. Good to know the team over at Rare did the due diligence.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
I don't know who thought it was a good idea to add an achievement to the Rare Replay version of headshotting 300 ants and then having to collect those heads.
Well, what? You can collect them?
Yeah, they drop them, you pick them up.
If you get 100, 200, and 300, it all has to be with the same character, though. It unlocks cheats, which are just visual modifications that don't actually like help you at all. But that's kind of what they're for.
You can get rainbow blood.
Yeah. You get rainbow blood. You get... It makes... 200 makes the Vela and Juno turn into kids for whatever reason. And 300 turns enemies into Mr. Pants, which is apparently Rare's mascot that I've never seen him anything else.
Mr. Pants, I have to see this.
I think they made a Game Boy Advance game about him.
They did. It's called It's Mr. Pants.
Yeah, like that's the only other time I've seen him. I've seen him in that game, and I've seen him in Jet Force Gemini. That's it.
I think, Dax, if you don't have it up, think like an egg, and then draw another egg on top of that egg, and like a mustache, and like two dots for an eye and a mouth, and then draw red underwear on it, and stick arms and legs. That's Mr. Pants.
Yep, that is a mascot. Is he even in? He has to be somewhere in the Rare Replay collection, right?
If he is, I have not seen him.
Yeah, okay. I haven't seen him either. Other than, like I said, he's in Jet Force Gemini, kind of.
Sorry, I'm perplexed right now. I keep staring at it. I'm like, who thought this was a good idea?
I've never seen this thing in my life.
Might be why we never see the mascot.
Kong Racing, then. They put everyone in that.
That's a good question.
Even characters from games they hadn't developed yet.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's Jet Force Gemini. Did you guys want to talk about anything else, or just go ahead and give her closing thoughts on the matter?
I'll give my closing thoughts.
All right, Marcus, without further ado, take us away.
Just don't play it.
Okay.
Don't. Like, what are your thoughts on this game? Don't.
All right. What about you, Ben? What did you end up like walking away from this game with?
Well, I walked away with that one achievement where I unlocked all three characters, and that's about it. Now the game it's definitely of its time, and I could see how it was, you know, something that at the time would have been really neat and really revolutionary. But yeah, I don't think it holds up by any modern standards. And yeah, it's just pretty hard to play by modern day.
All right. And then, yeah, I guess since I didn't really put a lot of time into this compared to everybody else, I'll go ahead and give my closing thoughts. I ended up replaying the first level a couple of different times because I kept like I was trying to exit back to where the water cave was in the first level, and I kept finishing the level, and I was just like, I have to redo it now. So I think I redid the first level two times. but all in all, I mean, it wasn't horrible. It just wasn't captivating for me. I love Rare as a company. Maybe I'll have the patience to play more of this one day, but I'm in grad school right now. So I'm trying to pick my battles a bit more wisely.
Yeah, so, your chance to play it. It was now. It's done.
Okay. What about you, Javi?
I mean, basically what I said before, we're like, this is a game that conceptually ticks a lot of boxes for me. I should be into an action platformer that's kind of cartoony and has this spacey sci-fi thing, especially from Rare. But in practice, like actually getting my hands on a controller, it just falls really flat. I think that if this were reimagined and they brought in a lot of modern, you know, quality of life changes, it would, this could be a really cool game. It kind of has big, what's it called? Recore vibes. Like that game had a lot of similar, issues where I can see the potential, but it's just not there. It's kind of like a relic of its time. Even though Recore, I guess, for when it came out, felt even more dated. Jet Force Gemini, I guess, was a little bit cutting edge for its time. But I think it bit off more than it could chew. And so, yeah. It's an interesting game. I think it's neat to look back on and see where we've come from and how a lot of these problems would be solved today. But other than that, it's not that fun.
Okay. And I'm saving your thoughts for last, Grace. So let's go with Chris.
Very similar to Javi. Like I kind of wish that I liked it more, but it just did not hold up. We'll say, Grace, you know, after I got over my disappointment of it not being Jet Set Radio. Yeah, like I am happy that you chose this because it got me to reinstall Rare Replay, and I played a bunch more of that than I did this game. I think I've come to the conclusion I don't love Rare or a lot of their stuff, but I like that they just kind of like experiment. And
somewhere Jeff is crying a single tear, and he doesn't know why.
I mean, I think if he explored their entire collection, he would know why. Like he would also be like, this is they're an interesting studio that does cool things and they make some great games. They also make some not so great games. But when you have the output that they have over what, like, I think they started making games in like 87, like you're going to have you're going to have as many misses as you do surefire hits. And then a lot of like stuff just in between, kind of like this, like just kind of exists. They tried something weird. It maybe didn't work. Doesn't hold up today, but you know, worth a go.
Okay. Grace.
You've shamed Grace.
Yeah, not yet. No,
punished Grace.
Yeah, I almost feel like I should apologize, but I'm not going to. Anyway.
I'll accept it in private later. Thank you.
Sure. Yeah, keep holding out for that. Anyway, so I played this game on Nintendo 64, and it was like absolutely one of my favorites. Like, I love this game. I wanted to show it to my friends. Like, I wanted everybody to know about it. So yes, nostalgia was a huge factor in me putting this game forward and saying, hey, let's try this out. Because I haven't actually played it since those days. Like, 2001, 2002 was like the last time I actually played this game. So it's like, hey, it would be really fun to revisit. Maybe that was a little wrong. Like, I'm not going to say, like, I'm not blinded by nostalgia. I know that this doesn't hold up. But that said, I still really enjoyed returning to it. It does take a lot of getting used to, especially the controls, and it does have a lot of really, really outdated design choices that just, like, I can see where the game would just completely fall apart for some people. Me, personally, I didn't like having to collect all the tribals again and collect all the ship parts and that kind of thing, but I enjoyed the moment-to-moment gameplay. Like, the shooting worked fine, but like I said, it's so like cartoony and over the top. That's kind of what makes it more fun. And like, I liked the music. I liked the environments. Like, they look really good for Nintendo 64, and they look really like, there's a decent bit of variety. I mean, there's a lot of blue, but other than that, it's a really, I think we've all kind of said it, it's a really interesting, intriguing game. It sticks out like a sore thumb in a lot of ways, like, both good and bad, like, in that they tried something different, and they tried something kind of unique, at least for the time. It maybe didn't go quite as well as they wanted. It definitely doesn't hold up today, but it's a really cool game, like, that it existed at some point, that it kind of did something different, and I'll always love it for that, even if I don't necessarily love it today as much as I did 20 years ago. So,
okay. So yeah, that's Jet Force Gemini, and now Marcus can breathe a sigh of collective relief as we go on to his picks for our next game, which he already posted. So right now, it looks like we're looking at Hotline Miami 2, Tachia. Like, is that how you pronounce it?
It's a Tachia.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
Pentiment and Tunic. And Hotline Miami 2, not getting a lot of love.
Zero votes. Wow.
I considered it.
Podcast full of racists? Maybe. I don't know.
Nah.
Let's see. So, I guess everybody's voted, right?
I think so.
I only see one island emoji here.
Yeah, that's because I always do unique per game.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I see the island and the shield emoji belong to the same person.
They sure do.
Okay. Yep,
they're both mine.
So, it looks like we're going to be playing Tachia.
Yeah.
We will figure out how to pronounce it before our next one.
I assume like the opening cutscene they'll tell us.
No, we have to wait for the title card to drop at the end of the game.
Oh my god, that'd be the worst. Because half of this podcast won't get there.
Surely it's just Chia, but you start with your tongue on the top of your mouth like you're pronouncing a T. So it's Chia. Chia.
That sounds right, but yeah. I'm not an expert.
All right, so I'll have to save Pentiment for another time because I really do want to play Pentiment at some point. I heard that's supposed to be a really good game.
Yeah, that's why I put it on here. It was definitely one of those like, oh, yeah, I really need to play this sometime. I want you guys to force me to do it, but not this time.
Yeah. And Tunic is also pretty good, especially like if you like the original like Legend of Zelda on the NES.
Yeah.
I think Chris is the one who... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, Pentiment looks like it's going to ask a lot of the player. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to sign up for like having to read a bunch and like really...
It looks like a very reedy game.
Yeah, yeah. So something a little more...
Gamers don't like reading.
I have to be in the mood. Sometimes I'm in the mood. But right now, Pentiment seems like a lot.
Yeah, it's looking looking like that's a 14 and a half hour game, whereas Chia, which is supposed to be like have a direct influence from Breath of the Wild, right?
Is it? Oh god, I fucked up. Oh well.
No.
Wait, you don't like Breath of the Wild?
I just said,
I don't know if you blast straight through it.
Okay.
There looks like there's more characters. Maybe than Breath of the Wild has.
Yeah, I was under the impression Tachia has like stuff happening. Like there's actually stuff on the island. It's not just an island.
I didn't really wasn't really in the mood for an open world game. But yeah, I mean, I'll make it.
IGN describes Tachia as a fun, wholesome version of Breath of the Wild and GTA.
Oh, IGN. Yes, they definitely know what they're talking about.
None of these pictures give me a GTA vibe at all. getting no GTA vibe from looking at any of the images for this game.
It's got a sky.
All right. So the game's like, what, 20 bucks? Or how much is it?
It's PlayStation Plus Extra if you have that. I don't know how nice. Okay. Tier that is.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's how I'm playing it.
Cool.
All right, everybody get back to Resident Evil 4 Remake.
Oh, I didn't buy that. That cost
I'm waiting for you to stream that hobby because don't do horror games.
Well, you know, it is a little... I was going to say, it's Resident Evil 4, it's not scary at all, but this one is a little... This one's definitely more of a horror game than the original. So
I'm waiting for that PSVR 2 version of it.
Yes. Oh, man, that'll be sweet. Yeah. So far, so good, though. I'm really liking it. I think it's freaking excellent. So
nice. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, that is it for VG Club this week. Thank you folks for listening. And I hope everybody listening has a wonderful week. Bye, folks.
Bye.